You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
There. It's going to be okay. Come in. Let's talk about it. This is the Locked On Jets podcast. It is Monday, September 9th, 2019. If you're new to the show at the start of the 2019 season, welcome. This is a daily podcast. We do this Monday through Friday talking about the New York Jets. If you do enjoy this show, please subscribe to it. You can do it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, among other places. And please leave it a good review if you do enjoy it. The Jets lost the opening game of 2019 on Sunday, 17-16, to the Buffalo Bills at MetLife Stadium. I've been trying to think about bad openers the Jets have had since I've been following them. And boy, it's tough to come up with one that was much worse than this one. I mean, there were a couple that came to mind. There was a game in 2005 in Kansas City where they just did not even show up and got blown out. That was a different type of loss. It was an ugly performance. There was a game in 2010, a Monday Nighter against Baltimore, their first game at MetLife Stadium, where the offense really did nothing to speak of. There was a game 3 years ago against the Bengals that they were in control of early and let slip away. That game was comparable, but the difference is that the Jets were not up 16-0 late in the third quarter of that game. The Jets blew a 16-0 lead in the last 20 minutes of this game. And it's the type of game where you can go with whatever narrative you want. I mean, there were so many problems with the Jets. This was a game that embodies the phrase, you win as a team, you lose as a team, because what they got out of the offense, what they got out of the defense, what they got out of the special teams, what they got out of their coaching, not good enough. Nobody really performed. There were a few standout performers. CJ Mosley had a wonderful game. We'll talk about that. But it was an ugly, ugly performance. In fact, the Jets led this game 16-0. They had forced four turnovers in the first half, and they had an interception wiped out on a penalty. And even though as I was watching the Jets take a 16-0 lead and seemingly be in control of the game, something was troubling. Is I never got the feeling the Jets were playing all that well in the game. It kind of felt more like the Bills just kept shooting themselves in the foot, and the Jets got a few fortuitous bounces. And you look at the four turnovers the Jets had, and I can't get over the fact people are trying to tell me this defense played a good game. Well, first of all, I mean, I don't care what you do prior to that point. You're up 16-0, and you blow a 16-point lead in less than a quarter and a half and lose the game. It doesn't matter what you did before then. But also, it's not like the defense was playing totally lights-out football with, you know, a few exceptions. C.J. Mosley, who the Jets gave him a big contract this offseason. C.J. Mosley, to justify that contract, needs to play like a superstar. He was playing like a superstar. Now, there were a couple turnovers that were kind of lucky. Well, you know, it was a pick six bounced into his hands off a deflection on a bad Josh Allen throw, where Josh Allen just totally misfired to an open receiver. And there was also a fumble recovery, which was a botched snap on a fourth down. But Mosley was all over the field playing good coverage. He was playing very effectively. So, you know, he was an exception. But Jets' defense was having issues. After Jordan Jenkins had a strip sack, the pressure was not that great. And the corners, if you were concerned about the corners entering this season, what you saw on Sunday did nothing to alleviate your concerns, because Trumaine Johnson and Darryl Roberts were awful in this game. Johnson, I mean, there were multiple times where Johnson was in coverage. He got beat so bad that the TV camera wasn't even on him as his man was making the catch. And Roberts was picked on left and right. Multiple penalties. One wiped out a Marcus May interception. Another one, he committed a penalty on a play where he gave up the game-losing touchdown. And he was just, the Bills were going after these guys left and right. It was an ugly performance for the Jets in the secondary, especially at corner. So the defense did not do a very good job. The offense scored 8 points. The offense put 8 points up in this game. That's enough said. Not a good performance by Sam Darnold. Not a good performance by Adam Gase. If you know, you want to talk about concerns you may have had entering this season, Adam Gase, when he was in Miami, I mean, there were lots of question marks about his play calling. You know, there were issues. Was he focusing too much on just short passes to the slot receiver? Jamison Crowder had 41% of the Jets' targets on Sunday. And Jamison Crowder played a decent game. I mean, he extended some drives with some big third down catches. But Jamison Crowder, and he's a nice receiver, and he may prove to be a solid free agent signing for the Jets. He's not the type of receiver you want to run your passing game through to that extent. Le'Veon Bell had a very good first game for the Jets, but he was kind of damaged. You know, he had to deal with bad blocking up front. The Jets' offensive line. You want to talk, again, concerns entering this game. Sam Darnold constantly under pressure. Offensive line did not look good. Ryan Khalil did not look like he was ready to play. You talk about the special teams. Oh, boy, the special teams. I mean, my goodness. Corey Vedvik, the guy the Jets just brought in off waivers, the kicker, missed extra points, missed 45-yard field goal. And the missed extra point actually was not as big of a deal because it ended up not actually costing the Jets because later on in the game they went for two and got it, so they kind of made that point up. And I don't think they would have gone for two if they had made the extra point. So that ended up not being as big of a deal, but then he missed a 45-yard field goal right before halftime. And in fairness to him, I mean, that was also due to a bad snap and bad hold. That said, I mean, this was not the kicking dilemma for the Jets continues. And I think the fact Adam Gase went for two after the Jets scored a touchdown in the second half, when there was nothing in the game situation that dictated it, tells you everything you need to know about the kicker. And it tells you that Vedvik, his career with the Jets is going to last one game probably, because the coach has no confidence in him to send him out for an extra point. So the kicking saga continues with the Jets, and this one's on Joe Douglas. You know something? You can get on Mike Maccagnan all you want. Joe Douglas has had plenty of time. It's not that hard. It should not be that hard to find a kicker. Teams do it all the time, every year in season. In season. I've talked about this over the last couple weeks. In season, teams do this. Teams are able to find kickers. So why can't the Jets? And part of it, I think, you know, it kind of goes back to maybe the coaching staff being, I don't know if arrogance is the right word, but Brant, you know, there was talk, Brant Boyer, I know how to fix this guy. Well, why don't you just go out and get a guy you know can do the job? Why do you have to go out and get somebody you can fix? You know, this is a guy who made about 60% of his kicks in college and had a bad preseason in Minnesota. Why don't you go get somebody who can kick? So just all around, offense, defense, coaching, special teams, front office, everybody contributed. This is, you know, there's some losses where you feel bad for certain people because they played great. For the Jets, it's very few. Every single unit contributed to their demise in this game. We all love a night out, whether it's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd at MetLife Stadium to cheer on the Jets. With the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can attend the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to, including Jets games. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. And to make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. Vivid Seats Rewards. You can earn double credit back from 10 to 16% on all your purchases through the Vivid Seats app. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and shows, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you to your favorite live event. And you can also enter promo code KICKOFF at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100 at Vivid Seats. Locked On Jets podcast on a Monday following the Jets' season opening loss to the Buffalo Bills. The Jets fall to Buffalo 17-16 at MetLife Stadium, now 0-1 in the 2019 season. And we're entering what's known in the NFL as overreaction week, where people assume, and sometimes the overreaction is good, sometimes it's bad. And last year would be a good example of that when the Jets went out on a Monday night and dominated the Detroit Lions and went on to win three games the rest of the season. And, you know, after that first game, there was plenty of excitement around the Jets. Everybody was fired up. Everybody thought the Jets were going to have a great year, or a lot of people did, and it did not happen. And it's just a reminder that, you know, week one of the NFL season is not necessarily indicative of the way the rest of the season is going to go. I mean, there have been some teams that have played some miserable week one. There have been multiple years the Patriots have been blown out week one and went on to win the Super Bowl. So you don't want to read too much into it. But you also can't just say, oh, it's one game. Well, guess what? This game is one game, but it's one game that matters. And there are teams that miss the playoffs by one game. So you have to find the right balance, I think, when you break down what happened in this game. You have to figure out what's actually concerning, what isn't. And I think that anybody telling you that the sky is falling, that doom is around. Not yet. You know, I'm not saying that the season's necessarily going to be a success, but you need more than 1 week of data to go on. And I know that there's probably going to be a lot of panic around Sam Darnold, and there's no defending Sam Darnold's performance in this game. This was a very poor performance. He looked rattled. I mean, he looked every bit the young quarterback he was. But I also would point out that if he went 24 hours earlier, within this fan base, there was widespread confidence. And that's just how it goes. You get into the season and you go in full of optimism. Darnold finished 2018 very strong. Now you think that there's nothing that can go wrong. You know, he's going to be, you can even dream of him being like the Patrick Mahomes year two guy who makes the leap to MVP status, and he's going to be great all season. And then he plays one bad game and suddenly all is lost and there's no hope at all. And in all honesty, neither of these is true. There's an old expression in sports that you're never as good as you think you are when you're going good, and you're never as bad as you think you are when you're going bad. And that's an expression I'm reminded of today. And you have to remember that, you know, as much as it might be a cliche, Darnold is a young quarterback, and there are going to be good moments and bad moments. Now, year two, we hope that there are more good moments than there were year one, and we hope there are less bad moments than there were year one. But it is a process. And I think that anybody who's now panicking, anybody who's now saying Darnold is a bust, and I'm seeing this on the internet, not from you, of course, because you're keeping things in perspective, but I'm seeing this from certain people. And guys, I mean, you can't tell me 24 hours ago that Sam Darnold was destined for great franchise quarterback status, and now tell me that he's a total flop, that there's no hope. It's one game. And, you know, I've seen a few people suggest, well, Lamar Jackson, look at that great game, Lamar Jackson's the future. Well, Sam's going to play Miami too this year, and that's nothing against Lamar, who has some potential of his own, but it comes and goes. If Sam goes out and plays great next week, does that mean all is well, that Sam will never play a bad game again? Of course not. That's just how it goes. And unfortunately, the Jets got a negative reminder of this on Sunday. But and listen, I can't promise you that Sam Darnold's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. I think he's going to be really good. I can't promise you that. None of us knows what the future holds, but you always have to remember that this is but one game. So I can't panic over that. Now, are there some concerning things that came from this game? Yes. I think that if you entered the season concerned about something, and then that concern popped up again week one, then yeah, you have some reason to be concerned. The corners, Trumaine Johnson, Darrell Roberts, who we talked about in the first segment. I'm assuming you did. I entered this game very nervous about the corners. I leave this game just as nervous about the corners, because this was not the most talented receiver group the Jets are going to face, and they got torched. And here's the other thing. The Jets are going to play better receivers. If Josh Allen was more accurate in this game, he could have thrown for 500 yards, because that's how bad the corner play was. Another thing that concerns me, and I mentioned it again first segment, I entered the season concerned about Adam Gase's play call. I talked about it in the offseason. People got mad. Now, that's okay if you did. I'm wrong about stuff plenty too, and I hope Adam Gase turns it around. But I mean, a lot of the bad tendencies I saw in Miami, I saw in this week one game. I mean, between the too much focus on Jamison Crowder played a good game. I'm not saying Crowder played a bad game. The too much focus on Jamison Crowder, though. Jamison Crowder should never be getting 41% of your targets. And maybe some of it's on Darnold. I'm sure some of it is on Darnold. I'm sure some of it's on the other receivers not getting open enough. But this was also Gase's, one of the issues with Gase is that he focused too much on the checkdowns, the dump-offs to the slot receiver. That happened. Gase was too in love with certain personnel packages, even when it was against his team's interest. Ryan Griffin's out there. Last series of the game, Jets need to move the ball quickly through the air. Guy who's not a dynamic receiving threat at all is out there. Jets were struggling. Talk about game planning. Talk about in-game adjustments. Receivers were struggling to separate. Why were there so few packages with Ty Montgomery and Le'Veon Bell? That's one of your advantages you have as a team. Now, when Herndon's back, okay, then you'll play. Then you may not play those guys together as much. But without Chris Herndon and the receiver struggling against these corners, why wouldn't you take advantage of the fact you have two quality receiving backs, try and create some matchups that way, maybe get the screen game going? So those are the things I'm concerned about. And Like, this game, this counts as a loss. You can't just say that this is just one, no big deal, it's just one game. This is a loss. So you can't just say no big deal, but I think you also have to remember that it is one game. It's one game, so you can't say it means nothing. But you also can't say the season's over, because there have been plenty of instances where teams have gone out and looked hopeless week one and went on, had a successful season. Heck, I can think one of the miserable openers I talked about, 2010. The Jets looked awful in a Monday night game against the Baltimore Ravens that year, week one. Week two, they went out and beat the Patriots. And, of course, they went on to come within a game of the Super Bowl that year. I'm not saying the Jets this year will have that same degree of success, but it's a long season. So these are the things. You have to keep it in perspective. You can't overstate the importance of this game. You also can't understate the importance of this game. This game showed you some things that were alarming, but it's also not the end of the season. You still have a long season to play. Nobody's going to pack up and go home because they just lost this one game. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit and no waiting at the pharmacy. Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color BlueChew.com. You get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew, BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Locked On Jets podcast after the Jets fall week one to the Buffalo Bills 17-16 at MetLife Stadium. I'm going to end the show with some positivity because there were some positive performances, and maybe some of you could use that today. And maybe some of you will be annoyed that I'm putting a silver lining on an ugly loss. But I wanted to go through some positive performances. C.J. Mosley, who unfortunately left the game early with an injury, and it probably made an impact. Now, the Bills just started rolling on offense after Mosley left the game. I'll be interested to see what the film has to say. My hunch is that that should not have been the difference between the Jets pitching a shutout and the Bills just rolling down the field at will. I'm sure it did make an impact, but with the contract Mosley got, I mean, he needs to play like a superstar, and he needs to play like a superstar consistently. Now, this was only one game, but Mosley did play like a superstar. Now, he was responsible for two turnovers that were kind of lucky, because one, the interception popped into his hands. It was a good catch. I mean, it was a good reflex. But then there was a botched snap on a fourth down that he fell on. But he played really well. I mean, he was solid in coverage. He made one play where he carried John Brown down the field. It looked like it was kind of a Tampa 2 look, which is not an easy guy to run with. It was actually the play he got hurt on. But I mean, he was five tackles, two passes defensed, and in on two turnovers. He was an impact player, so in 1 week, but that contract's off to a good start. Le'Veon Bell, I mean, the free agent class actually played a pretty good game for the Jets, the free agent imports. Le'Veon Bell, I'll tell you, the stat sheet does not look spectacular, but I think he made a difference in this game. He scored their only touchdown. I'd like to see him feature him a little bit more in the passing game. He did haul in about six passes, but I'd like to see the Jets feature him a little bit more in the passing game. But, I mean, Bell's contribution is very subtle. You talk about his star power. You talk about his receiving ability. As much as anything, I mean, how many runs in this game, if you watched, were supposed to be stopped? You know, probably should have been stopped around 1-2 yards, that he somehow figured out, found a hole, used his vision, and scampered 6, 7, 8 yards. It was impressive. And, he made one play on the Jets' last series of the game, where it was a 4th-and-1 play, and he was contacted. I mean, they had multiple guys hitting him in the backfield. It looked like he was stopped, and I remember, like, watching it, and somehow he got the first down after being contacted in the backfield. And I said, my God, I couldn't believe it. I was like, wait a minute, he got that first down? It was an amazing play. So perhaps a preview of what's to come with Bell, a very solid debut. Jamison Crowder, you know, I talked about, look, Jamison Crowder should not be catching 14 balls. They're throwing him the ball too much, but he did make a positive impact in this game. I don't think there's any question about that. If used properly as a role player who you go to convert some third and shorts, that's not bad. That I can live with. They used him too much. I mean, he was too featured. He's not a dynamic enough playmaker to be featured as much as he was, but you saw how he can be useful in this game. I mean, he did move the chains quite a bit among his 14 catches, and some were big third down catches to extend drive. So that was a positive. And Neville Hewitt, I thought, played a good game. You know, he was a big question mark, and I mean, he filled up the stat sheet. He had eight tackles. He had an interception. He had a couple quarterback hits. We'll see what happens, but I mean, Neville Hewitt, if that was Darren Lee, that would have been one of the best games of Darren Lee's career. I think he was constantly around the ball. He was getting into the backfield. So there were a few positives you can take away from this game. And a gloomy day for Jets fans as the Jets fall to the Buffalo Bills at MetLife Stadium. That's all for our show today. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're around Monday through Friday. So if you're new, hope you enjoyed the show and hope we'll see you back later on in the week. If you enjoy it, do subscribe. You can do it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Please leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Try and enjoy your Monday after this difficult loss, and we'll be back tomorrow. Talk more Jets.